and as missionaries, that's how we appreciate it. And we're so thrilled to come up here and join you all. And once again, thank you for having us tonight. It's kind of interesting how Pastor, he kind of joked about that lottery. I was looking at reading through some of the Korean news, and they're even having news about this huge lottery thing in the United States. And I thought, you know, kind of interesting, Pastor, where almost 90% of these lottery winners, if you go about 10 years or 5 years or so later, they have broken home, families all torn apart. Some of them, they're in jail. Not only here in the United States, but even that happens in Korea too. And so we know that if God's not in it, it's not going to work out. It doesn't matter how much money you win. And I totally agree with you, Pastor, about how if God's in with that money, that whatever this, the amount that you give, he could make greater than anything else in this world. And I certainly praise the Lord for that. Well, tonight on Matthew chapter 8, I'll go ahead and read, I'll give you a message through the passage of verses 23 through 27. And I'll go ahead and read Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the man marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Tonight, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to bring a message about how to stay faithful in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for bringing my family up here and join this beautiful crowd in the Lord. I pray that you would just use me tonight and help me to be clear of what you want me to say, that if there's someone here tonight that if they're struggling with being faithful, I pray, Lord, that you will convict them and help them to just rededicate their lives for you. Thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Early 90s, I grew up in Lynchburg, Virginia. It's not far from here. I don't know if you remember from the video, when we first got it to the United States, we went to Bronx, New York. And when I went to move to Lynchburg, Virginia, it was totally a huge culture shock. I never knew there was another ethnicity, the rednecks. I mean, yeah, my goodness. I was the only Asian in my school. And I mean, they're great. All my friends were rednecks. And they taught me how to do great sports like cow tipping. That was amazing. And fishing and hunting. And I mean, I definitely fell in love with this Southern culture. And every time I come up here from North Carolina, Virginia, in this area, I really, really enjoy. I feel like I'm at home. And this is something that I'm gonna miss when I go back to Korea, because I'm sure Nestor knows there aren't that many wild animals there. Only people, you know. And if you want to hunt, maybe you got stray dogs or cats or something. That's the only thing you can hunt for. But I praise the Lord for that I had opportunity to grow up here in Virginia. Well, it's kind of interesting that this deputation, the trail has been very somewhat just really different for myself and my family. I never expected something like this at all. I remember We spent our past 8 years in Korea, helping out different pastors and different missionaries. And when God finally burdened our hearts about planting churches in Korea, I asked some of the pastors and asked their advice about how to do it. And I had options of staying in Korea. We have a tremendous visa situation where Only thing that we cannot do in Korea is voting. Other than that, we were just like Korean nationals, even though we're American citizens, because our parents were Korean nationals. So I had a choice. Either I could work full-time and do a full-time ministry, or coming back to United States and do this deputation and do the full-time missionary. And we weighed different aspects of it, and finally I realized that God clearly called us back to the United States and go on this deputation. And I remember when we made that final decision of coming back, you got to realize that past 8 years, since 2005, we pretty much accumulated all our, you know, we had a house there, we had a car, I mean, everything. I mean, we pretty much lived just like Koreans. So when God first called us back here, we didn't have anything here. No car, no housing, I didn't have any network of pastors here. We didn't even have a home church. And all those uncertainties really hindered me just going out to the faith, that step of faith. But God was very clear, Brandon, just go back. I'll take care of you. I'm here, you know, as I trust the Lord as my personal Savior. I trust Him for my eternity. Yet I had a hard time trusting Him for next few years of going on deputation. But we came and I remember back in December of 2013, we got rid of everything that we had in Korea. And we tried to sell things, but didn't work out. And we only had a few hundred dollars that we had. And I remember when I reserved the plane ticket to come to the United States, since it was winter time, I purposely reserved a layover in southern part of the United States. That way, I don't have to go through a snowstorm or cancellation where I had to spend the night at the airport. You know, I didn't have money for that. So I reserved a plane from Seoul to Dallas and Dallas to Raleigh, North Carolina. Well, when we landed in Dallas, I think it was December of 2013, when we landed, it was kind of interesting. What I found out was that they had worst winter storm in 100 years. And I remember getting off the plane. I mean, it was just chaos. I mean, the whole the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. I mean, people are everywhere. I'm cold. The airport, they hand out the cots because nobody can fly out. Nobody can come in. And we had, you know, I had three girls and my wife, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't have that much money, and we tried to find a hotel, and everything was booked, and I just kind of broke down because I didn't know what to do. But I was kind of questioning God. Lord, I mean, you called us to come back to the United States, and first thing that you show us is stranded at Dallas. And I remember just crying out to the Lord, but yet, God was very faithful that night because I remember one of the biggest, the hotel at that airport, walked up there, and I knew that there was no room, or I'm sure I couldn't even afford a room. So I asked the guy, front clerk, I still remember his name, Dominic. He was working at the front counter, and asked him, hey, man, do you have anything available tonight? And he was telling me, no, sir, there's nothing available tonight. Even if we have one, it's gonna be a lot of money. And while I was kind of discouraged, and this Chinese lady walks to the counter, and then she says something about like this. She apparently, her group reserved all these rooms for some kind of special conference in Dallas, but because of the weather, she had to cancel, or she had to pretty much just give the rooms away. And when I heard that, praise the Lord, ma'am, I'm right here. And it's amazing how God used that Chinese lady that I never even know she existed, yet through her, God used her. And that night, while everybody's sleeping on that cold floor, our family went up to one of the nice room in there, and then we spent and we stay there. And the reason I'm telling you is this is not because we're some kind of special missionaries, but if I have time tonight, if I ask you, every one of you tonight, I'm sure that you can tell me all the things that God has done in your life and all the faithfulness that He has showed you through your life. And tonight, through this, some of the verses that I'm going to read it to you and show you how God encourages us to stay faithful. I just want to challenge you, because every church that we visit for past 14 months, it doesn't matter how big of the size of the church or how small the church is, there's somebody in that church that's going through, whether he wants to stay close to the Lord, or he's about to stay away from the Lord or go out of his will. On verse 23, it says, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Well, first thing that we have to be faithful is that we have to be faithful in following Jesus Christ. Here, verse 23 says, disciples followed him. Now, that word follow is not just a word that you're following someone's trail here. That word follow actually means that becoming one's disciple. You see here, God, Jesus Christ, is asking us to stay faithful in following, stay faithful becoming disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, how do you become the disciple of Jesus Christ? What's the biblical way to follow him? Well, Bible always gives us the answer. Look, if you look at verse 19 here, same chapter, verse 19. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Same exact word. And this is what Jesus said. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Isn't that amazing? The Creator, the Almighty God of this universe, when he came here 2,000 years ago, he didn't even have a place to stay. Now, what is that telling us? The church, whenever we go to a mission conference, the church invites us to go to mission conference, go to different churches, and usually the pastors, they get us the hotel or motel room. And if I can kind of give you a weak example here, when we check into that motel room, technically speaking, you know, I signed a paper, hey, this room belongs to us for next few nights. Well, my wife, as soon as she walks into the motel room, she doesn't usually look around the motel room and tells me, Brandon, that curtain gotta go. Hey, honey, this carpet, I don't like the color. Hey, honey, the bathroom, oh, no. This hotel, let's go down to Home Depot and we're gonna renovate this. I know it's kind of weak examples here, but why don't she tell me that? I mean, why not? Well, we gotta realize that, you know, we're just passing through. That's not ours. Just like that, whatever we own here on earth doesn't belong to us. We're just passing through. I mean, it's amazing, Pastor, how he's talking about that. Brother Kim, he's working in that ministry in North Korea. You know, I am very proud to be American. You know, we are so blessed. I'm sure if you go abroad, you know that we have so much. We have so much. I mean, one of the things that I miss when I go to Korea is Walmart. I mean, you walk into Walmart, my goodness. I mean, if I can compare Korean grocery mart and the Walmart, even the shopping cart, the size of the shopping cart is different. We got the super size where we need about three people to push it, right? But in Korea, I mean, it's small. I mean, what I'm trying to say is God has blessed tremendously this nation. And that means that we have that much responsibility to go out and preach the gospel. And I certainly want to challenge you tonight. Yes, I mean, I see all these faithful folks tonight. I mean, tonight it's kind of cold, cold night in Virginia. I don't know if there's any ball game on tonight. I mean, I'm sure you could have done other things. But because you're faithful following Jesus, you're here tonight. But I want to challenge you, devil hates that. He wants to try to do everything from deterring you to come and join pastor and other fellow believers worshiping the Lord. So I want to just challenge you and encourage you, stay faithful, just like you're doing tonight. Stay faithful in following Jesus Christ. Not only Jesus asked us to be faithful in following, but on verse 24, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. and 25. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Let's be faithful during our testing. Let's be faithful during our testing. Once again, if I ask, one of you tonight, I'm sure many of you can tell me, Brother Song, I am going through some kind of storm tonight. But Jesus is asking us, trust me, be faithful during those storm. If you go out and go into a parking lot, you might see a 2013 Chevy Suburban, black. That's our vehicle. Well, you're a missionary. How can you drive a 2013 Chevy Suburban? What, leather seat? What kind of missionary are we going to, we're not going to support you. I mean, that's crazy. You got that nice vehicle out there. Well, it's kind of interesting. Like I told you when we first got here back in 2013, we didn't have no car. I mean, no housing. I mean, we didn't have enough money for down payment. So this car situation was very, in a way, huge storm for our faith. Well, our home church, my pastor, he got us a rental car. Some of the church members gave us some love offerings to get their rental car. But we needed a permanent vehicle. Well, I remember one time we got a van and we're driving through Tennessee. And it was the van broke down on the side of the highway. And I remember my girls and I were just, we didn't know what to do about it. So we had a problem with this vehicle situation. Well, back in 2014, it's exactly about a year ago. Christmas time, this lady that we knew before, she lives in Kernersville, North Carolina. She called my wife and told her, "Hey, Rose, I've been praying for you all, and my father, who was NC State professor, engineering professor, he passed away. He's big. We know that. We've been praying for him. Actually, he's big time atheist." But what she was telling us through the phone was that she left huge inheritance. Is there anything that you need? Yep. Through atheist inheritance, Pastor, through atheist inheritance, God gives us that vehicle for his glory. I tell you what, folks, if I drive about 2 hours up north going through D.C., they think we are some kind of secret service, black Suburban driving through the way, like a Red Sea. Why am I telling you this? Because by no means we're trying to, we're trying to be proud of us. No, not because of our talent. No, none of that. It's all the Lord. If you stay faithful during your trials and testing time, I know whether financial situation, marriage, relationship, your education, your job situation. Yes, we will have problems as long as we breathe air here. But the problem is this, that oftentimes the Christians, when they face trials and testings and temptations, instead of just hugging to the Lord, instead of just getting close to the Lord, what they do, they either, I'm just going to, go to different church, or maybe I'm just going to stop going because I don't want to see people there. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to read his word. It's not really helping. But Jesus Christ is asking us, be faithful during those testing. And he promises us that he will never leave us or forsake us. That's his promise. Not only we should be faithful during our storm, but quickly, verses 26 through 27. And he said unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Bottom line is, we have to be faithful in trusting him. Here, disciples, they're learning, but they kind of know that Jesus is their Messiah. But yet, when the storm arose, verse 26, they were so afraid that they thought they're gonna die, and then they approach Jesus, and this is what Jesus says: "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" And certainly that was my case. Here, I trust the Lord for my eternal life. But yet, small things. That little faith, And Jesus is asking us, hey, Brandon, asking you, trust me. You have to be faithful in trusting me. And here, Jesus does what he does in verse 26. He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. If you look at Revelation, for sake of time, I'm not going to turn there, but Revelation 21, verse 8, God compares fearful with all these sinners that can't go to heaven, that will be thrown in hell. And that's how much God hates when you have that fear. This world is full of fear. I mean, North Korea. I mean, the biggest weapon that Kim Jong-un has is fear. He puts that fear to the people so he can do whatever he wishes. What about ISIS? Or what about the stock market? What about, just every area that we see around us is full of fear. And that's the biggest weapon that Satan has. And it's been about 80 years, and we've been hearing, we've been back in America about two years now. And it seems like I could tell there's a huge, huge change here in the United States. That's something that I see. What I see is that a lot of Christians, they're afraid of the future, afraid of their situation. They're living in fear. But God is encouraging us. God is commanding us. Christ is definitely rebuking the disciples here. Why are we so afraid? Oh, we have little faith. And I just want to encourage you tonight. Trust Jesus, not only for your eternal life, but trust him with a daily living. Because we know, I mean, he promises us. The creator of this world promises us that he will take care of us. If he can take care of us, he will definitely will take care of you. Father, thank you so much for this time, and thank you for his faithful folks and the ministry here. Thank you for Pastor Sumter and his faithfulness. And I just pray that, Lord, that you'll specially protect this ministry. And I know that Pastor Sumter has different ministry plans. I pray that you will bless them. And I ask you to just use this church to be the salt and light of this neighborhood. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.